the bottom of Daf Kufcha Vavamid Beis, four lines before the end of the page. There are two types of people who we do not know their gender. One is called an androgynous, a hermaphrodite, who has both male and female genitalia. So we just don't know how to treat it. Is this a male? Is this a female? It's got the abilities of, or the signs of both. The other is called a tumtum. A tumtum is someone whose private area is covered over by skin. Now that can sometimes later be determined. The skin can be removed. And once it's removed, we can see whether in fact he's a man or a female. So our Gemara is going to begin with five halachos from different Amoraim, where they each taught that in regards to a different area of law, it doesn't apply to a tumtum. It doesn't apply to a safek, to someone who we don't know his gender. It only applies to vadai, when we're sure that something is a boy or sure something is a girl. So the first of these halachos is in regards to inheritance. That's the context here. And then we get into other areas of halacha. And then we'll have questions whether it's true. So let's start. Amar Reb Ami. Reb Ami said, tumtum, let's say you have a firstborn, but he's a tumtum. His private area is covered with skin. So we don't know his status. Shenikra, that skin gets torn. Venimtza zachar, and it turns out that he is certainly a male. Now we know he's a male. But we didn't know it initially. So, Eino notel pishnayim. Firstborn son is entitled to a double portion. He is not entitled to a double portion in his father's inheritance. And that's based on a pasuk. The Amar Kala pasuk says, V'haya ha-ben ha-bechor lasnia. And it shall be the firstborn son to the hated wife. Now, the word v'haya is extra, v'haya. So why did it say v'haya? It's to teach you a law. The only time you have a law of firstbornhood is v'haya, when that status was from beginning till the end. Atchiyehei ben mishas havaya, that from the very beginning of his existence, we know he was a son. Then he has the status of a firstborn. But if at the very beginning of his existence, it wasn't clear that he was a son, because it was a tumtum, we just didn't know what it was, then there is no law of bechor. So that's law number one. Law number two. We know that right after the Torah tells us the story of the laws of Bechor, the Torah tells us that there's something called a ben soreru more, a son who is rebellious and straying. That's a boy who at a young age, 13 or so, is stealing from his parents and he's eating food in a very gluttonous way and he's in a very bad place. He's not listening to his parents' instructions. So unfortunately, if he's warned and he's beaten with lashes, and he keeps up this behavior, he eventually has to be stoned to death. So, ben soru moreh cannot apply to a tumtum, even though it was a tumtum that later had the skin removed, and we know that he's a male. Af eino nidun ben soru moreh. He doesn't have the law of ben soru moreh. The Amar Kark, as the pasuk says, again, the word, an extra word, ki yihyeh le'ish, when there shall be to a man, ben soru moreh. So the word ben is right next to the word, pretty close to the word yiyeh. It has to be at sheyehei ben mishas havaya. The law of ben soreru moreh, when he was a son, from the havaya, from the very beginning of his existence. If he was a son from the very beginning of his existence, then he could be a ben soreru moreh. But if he initially was not a son, we just didn't know what he was. He was a suffolk, he was a tumtum. He was covered by skin. So then he can't become a ben soreru moreh. So we have two avlachos so far. The law of Bechor will not apply to a tumtum because of the word v'haya. V'haya ben ha-bechor lasnia. And the law of ben soreru moreh will not apply to a tumtum because it says ki yeh le'ish ben soreru moreh. Now law number three.
The assumption that you cannot be a rebellious daughter?
Yeah, there is no law of rebellious daughter. That's right. Amemar said... Af eino mimait chelek bechora. The tumtum, who later turns out, he who had been a tumtum, but now we know he's a male, does not have the ability to diminish the bechora portion. So As the Rashbam explains, we know that a Bechor gets two portions. One portion as a Bechor, and one portion as a Pashut, as a regular brother. Let's say there was a father, and he had three children. Bechor, then he had the Pashut, and then he had Tumtum. And he had nine fields. So the nine fields were divided into three parts, each with three fields. One three fields was labeled the Bechor section. The other three field was labeled the Pashut section of the Bechor, the part that the Bechor is going to get as a son. And then the third set of three fields was labeled the Pashut field. Now the Tumtum, we didn't know whether he was a boy or a girl. So a girl couldn't inherit in the presence of boys. So based on a Safek, they have to prove that someone has to prove he's entitled to money or to be able to take it from someone. Thank you. So therefore, since he can't prove, he wasn't entitled to anything. Now he did a surgery. He removed the skin. And we see that he is a boy. So the fact that he's a boy now will not diminish the section of Bechor. The Bechor part will not be impacted. So therefore, the Bechor part was three. So those three fields are still going to the Bechor. Now, after the three fields that were going to the Bechor, we had two sections, each of three fields. One was the Pashut part going to the Bechor, and one was going to the Pashut. So now those six fields are now divided, instead of being into two groups, they get divided into three groups, each of two. And the one who had been a Tumtum, and now is no longer a Tumtum, ends up getting two fields. The Pashut, who we always knew as a Pashut, gets two fields. And the Bechor gets an additional two fields as his Pashut portion. So it ends up that the Bechor ends up getting five fields. Then the Pashut gets two fields. And the formerly Tumtum, now Pashut, gets two fields. So the Tumtum's discovery of being a boy did not impact the Bechor part of what the Bechor was getting. It impacted the Pashut part of what the Bechor was getting, but it didn't impact the Bechor part of what the Bechor was getting. So the Bechor ends up with five fields, Pashut number one with two, and Tumtum was now a Pashut also with two. So that's also based on a Pasuk. We'll just read the Pasuk and we'll have the question. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, V'yalda lo banim, and she'll give birth to him sons. So that pasuk is talking about ha'uva v'asnua. So that sounds like, and then you give the Bechor a double portion, and the other brothers get a single portion. Achiehebein b'shas leida. If he's a son at the time of yalda, the time of birth, so then he impacts the Bechor, and he impacts the Bechor's portion. But if at the time of birth he wasn't a son, he was a tumtum, later he became a son, so he doesn't impact the Bechor portion, he only impacts the Pashut portions. Yeah, Todd, a question.
So, I understand it doesn't affect the Bechor aspect of it, but let's say you have a tumtum and a daughter. So the daughter would have inherited if there was a son.
Correct.
And now the tumtum is found out to be a son.
Yeah.
So does the same law for Bechor apply to the law just stam of a boy and a girl?
No.
Or he would inherit as a boy? Because
he inherits as a boy.
What happens to someone who's born a Bechor, a son, and then has the gender change after?
He has to return back to
I'm not sure how halacha would view gender changes. I don't know. Because it's not clear to me if the simanim, the signs of masculinity, are what makes someone masculine, or they're just a sign that someone is masculine. If the signs make a person masculine and then there's a surgery to put in those signs, so then, I don't know, maybe it changes. No, but it may not depend, right? It may not matter. The chromosomes are still male or female chromosomes. These were surgically changed features. I don't know how it's ruled. I'm sure there are poskim who are dealing with the question. I don't know how it's what their conclusion is. It's a very, I don't know, what would happen if someone does a gender change from male to female? What section of the shul should they daven in? The women's section, the men's section? These are hard questions.
Even the pashrut does not make a well the typical what we learn. Because if the pashrut has to get, except the tuntu, divided by three, the whole 300, the pashrut should get 300.
No. The Bechorah portion doesn't get impacted, but the Pashut portions get impacted.
Bechorah has a Bechorah portion and a Pashut portion.
No, but it's here.
Tumtum doesn't count to the Bechorah portion, but he counts and impacts the Pashut portion. So this was law number three. Law number one is that a Tumtum wouldn't have the status of Bechorah. It doesn't get a double portion. Law number two is that a tumtum could never become a ben sora or mora, even though we now know he's a male. Law number three is that a tumtum doesn't subtract from the bechora portion. And now law number four. Rav Shizbi Amar, Rav Shizbi said, Af eino nimo lishmona. A tumtum who later turns out to be a male would not get a bris milah on Shabbos if Shabbos is the eighth day after his birth. Normally, a bris milah on Shabbos, milah bismana over, I'm sorry, milah on the eighth day. Milah bismana overrules Shabbos, because to cut something and make something bleed on Shabbos is a bunch of malachos, but a tumtum, he had been a tumtum, and now he turns out to be a male, cannot overrule Shabbos. Tamar Krux, the pasuk says, "Ishak ki sazria v'yalda zachar," a woman who will be seated and give birth to a male, and then uvayom hashmini yimol besar lasa, on the eighth day, no matter what, even if it's Shabbos, his foreskin shall be cut off. Atshe zachar mishas leida, he has to be male from the moment of birth. Yolda Zachar has to be a male from Leda in order to have the law of Bayom Hashmini that the eighth day has a bris milah even overruling Shabbos. So that's law number four.
Way, this is assuming that they do the untuming
right
away after his birth.
In this case, they did it right away.
They do untuming when he's 6 years old.
No, then of course not. Then it's only milah on the eighth day.
But he could do it. He could do brit milah on Shabbat.
No,
that's it.
No. So, Rabbi, it sounds like these psukim answer your question. It's only by the simanim of having male genitalia that you're able to call yourself a male. Because before this, you didn't know what they were, therefore you couldn't do the brit milah on Shabbat.
Okay.
So it's only by having
maybe. Possible.
But he had these sexual relations at birth. He just didn't know it.
So that's why it says that because we didn't know that it was a boy, you can't even do a bris milah at the right time.
And not in our case, but if nolada yelet, then we have to do the chalukah. Tinok, even before brit, will get his chalik.
Yeah. He could, yeah. All right, now law number five. Rav Shravya Amar. Rav Shravya said, Af ein imo tmeya leida. We know in Parashas Tazria the Torah says that if a woman gives birth to a boy, so then even if she didn't have any blood, she's tamei for 7 days just because of the childbirth. And then the next 33 days, if she bleeds, the blood is tahar, it's pure. If she gave birth to a girl, she's tamei for 14 days. And if she bleeds afterwards, the next 66 days, she's tahar. However, Rav Shravya says that's true with a boy and a girl, but not with a tumtum. Af ein imo tmeya leida. If a woman gives birth to a tumtum, there is no tumas, there is no impurity of childbirth. The pasuk says isha ki sazria v'yalda zachar, and we had jumped to the next pasuk. But the end of this pasuk is if a woman will be seated and give birth to a boy, v'tamah shivas yamim, and she'll be tummy for 7 days. It has to be clear from the moment of birth that he is a male. And the same is true for female. Because the next words go on. So, If at birth he's Zachar, or if at birth she's Nekeva, then you have the law of Tumas Leda. But if at birth they weren't, because they were Tumtum, then there is no law of Tumas Leda. So five halachos. Bechor, Ben Sorer Amore, Memait Chelak Bechora, Bris Milan Shabbos, and Tumas Leda. And we're saying all of these halachos don't apply to a Tumtum. So now the Gemara is going to start picking at these opinions. Remember, these are different opinions. Meisve, I'll challenge you. Yeah, it's that.
So the woman is not Tameh after giving birth to a
Tumtum. That's what it sounds like at this point, according to Rav Shravya. But now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Shravya. Meisve, I'll challenge you from a Mishnah. Rav Shravya is an Amora. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Maseches Nida, Hamapeles, a woman who had a stillborn born, she had a miscarriage, and we look at this baby and we see he's a tumtum, or he's an androgynous. So now we don't know, is that a male or a female? So teishev lezachul nekeva, her status should be the strictest possible. She should be tummy for 14 days, like an akeva. But in terms of days of Tohar, days of purity, that the blood that comes out is pure, we'll say only a total of 40 days from birth. So she only has 26 days of being only pure. Unlike a female who has, a birth of a female normally has 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tahara. We don't know. Maybe this was in fact a boy. So there's only up to day 40 of Tahara. But unlike a boy who has only 7 days of Tumah, maybe this was a girl. There are 14 days of Tumah and only 26 days of Tahara. So one second, so you have to do Rav Shravya. That's completely against Rav Shravya, because Rav Shravya said that because it wasn't Yolda Zachar, it wasn't Nekeva Telet, it wasn't from birth known as a male or a female, it doesn't have the laws of Tumah. Here you see it does have the laws of Tumah, we just don't know which. So one says, yeah, so you have to, Rav Shravya is knocked out. All right, so one of these halachos is knocked out. The last one. All right, Nebel Tehevi, so you have to do Rav Shizbi. Let's also knock out halacha number four. Halacha number four was that Rav Shizbi said that if a person is born as a tumtum, he wasn't born as a zachar, then there's no bismillah on Shabbos on the eighth day. So let's say that here too. Let's knock out that halacha, because you see that that's all in the psukim of Tumas Leda, and here we're saying that there is Tumas Leda. So you might say, maybe not. Maybe Tana Sfukim is Safkule. The Tana's not sure. Maybe there are the laws of Tumas Leda. Maybe there is the law of violating Shabbos. Maybe there isn't the law of Tumas Leda. Maybe there is no law of violating Shabbos on the eighth day. And therefore he's Lechumra. He's always being strict. He's saying, I'm going to be strict. Let's have all the possible strictness of Tumah. All the strictness of the fewest days of Tahara. But if you're being strict, he'll also say be strict and don't do bris milah on Shabbos. So give me 1 second. If he's trying to be strict, Yachi, if that's the case, teshev lezachar unakeva, then the woman who gave birth to the tumtum should both have the tumah of a female, 2 weeks. She should have the few days of Tahara of a boy, of 26 days, but also Lenida, she should have the possibility of being Lenida. In other words, she shouldn't really have any days of Tahara. Why should she have no days of Tahara? Because maybe this child is not included in the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, of Tumas Leda at all, and therefore she has no Yemei Tohar. The days are days of Nida if she has blood. Gemara says, all right, Kasha, that is in fact a problem. So we have to say that in fact Rav Shizbi also is challenged from this Mishnah. Because this Mishnah seems to say explicitly that a tumtum is not, certainly not included in any of the categories. We just don't know. It's maybe a male, maybe a female, but not that he's not included in the categories. So that's against Rav Shizbi, who said that he's not included in the categories of having a bris milah on Shabbos.
So it goes to 66 days now? Is that what it is?
24 days.
24 days.
Right. 24 days, I'm sorry, 26 days after the days
of Tumah. They took the average in between male and female?
No, they took the strictest. They gave them the hardest time, because we don't know. We have to be strict. Okay. now remember, we had six halachos. We had Rav Shravya, Rav Shizbi, Ameimar. We had Rav Nachman. We began these five halachos with Rav Ami, who said that a tzumtzum, who later turns out to be a male, does not get a double portion as a bechor. Amar Rav, Rav said, Tanya kavasid Rav Ami. We have a brisa, though, like Rav Ami. Because the brisa says... Raisa says, the pasuk says, ben, right? If a woman will have a man, will have a ben. Ben velo tumtum. Ben has to be not a tumtum. Tumtum doesn't have the status of bechor. Bechor velo safik. And the Raisa goes on to say, bechor, firstborn, not a safik. Okay, bishma ben velo tumtum kudu rabami. That's the law of rabami, that if he's born as a tumtum, and later that skin is removed, he still does not have the status of a bechor to get a double portion. Gets a single portion. So what are we learning though from Bechor Velo Safek? Rafu Kemai, what's that teaching? So the Gemara explains that price is to reject the view of Rava. Rafu Kemai the Darash Rava. That is to reject what Rava had taught. The Darash Rava, Rava said, Shtei Nashim Sheyoldu Shnei Zacharim B'machvei. Let's say two women are in hiding in a cave and they both give birth to a boy on the same day, two wives of the same husband. So now we don't know which boy was born first, which boy was born second. So we don't know who the Bechor is. So then when we have a case of Safek, Kosvin Arsha Zelazeh, Maman of Shach, one of them is the Bechor, we just don't know which one it is. So they make a partnership. In other words, each one says, if I am the Bechor, I'm empowering you, my brother, to be my representative, to be able to press claims on my behalf. And if I'm not the Bechor, you've empowered me to press claims on your behalf. And then, you know, one of the brothers will come, one of these two boys, to the other brothers and say, listen, I'm entitled to the double portion. Either you're giving it to me because I'm the Bechor, or you're giving it to me because I'm representing my brother who's the Bechor. And they pool their assets together. So that's what Rava said they could do. So that's what this Mishnah is saying, that not. Bechor velo safek. There's a special gzeres hakasav, a special decree of the pasuk, that the law of Bechor, of getting a double portion, has to be in a case where we know who's the Bechor, not in a case of safek like this. Amalei Rav Papa leRava. Rav Papa, now the Gemara is going to teach that even Rava rejected what he had said. Rav Papa said to Rav, Vashalach Ravin, but Ravin said, sent us the Tavar Zed, this question that we said in the Brisa, Bechor Velo Safek, Shalti L'chol Rabos, I asked all of my teachers, V'lo Amr Li Tavar, they didn't explain what it meant. Ram Kacham, Mishim Rabbiana, but this is what they said in the name of Rabbiana, Hukru, if initially we did know who was firstborn and who was second, Ulav Asofnis Arvun, and later they were mixed. Then Kosvin Arsha Zelazeh. Then they should pool their assets by making the partnership. Lo Hukru, but if we didn't know, in Kosvin Arsha Zelazeh, then they don't have. No one has the right to collect a double portion because Bechor Velo Safek. It's a pasuk. So Hadi Oka Rava Mora Aleis. So then Rava went and he got a translator to stand in front of him. Vidarash, and he taught. Dvarim Sharmait Lachem. What I had taught you, Tosim B'Yadi, was a mistake in my hands. Ram, however, kacham mishum Rabbiyanai. This is what they really said in the name of Rabbiyanai. Hukru l'vasofnis arvu. If we knew who was the firstborn and who was not, and then they got mixed, kosvin harsha zelazeh, then they have to write a harsha to each other to collect it. Lo hukru. But if they never knew who was firstborn, there was a safek in kosvin harsha zelazeh. They can't write a harsha to each other. No one's entitled to collect the double portion. All right, now we're going to get into another topic, which we've seen referenced before, and that is the power of a father to identify his son as the firstborn. We're going to see today that it's a machlokes, and whether the father has credibility even against the chazakah, even against when we assumed somebody else was the bechor, we had known someone else to be the bechor. And we're going to see that this question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, ki es habechor ben asnua yakir, Yakir, he is to recognize him. The father is given the power, Yakirenu l'achirim, to identify the son as the firstborn. So Shalchu Lebnei Akra de Agma, the people from this town, Akra de Agma, town next to the river, next to a swamp, they sent the question to Shmuel. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, our teacher Shmuel should teach us. Let's say there was a strong, you know, awareness and reputation that so and so Yaakov is a Bechor. V'amar Aviv, then the father comes and says, no, Yaakov's not my Bechor. He's not. This other boy is the Bechor. That's the one who is the Bechor. So Mao, is the father's credibility of Yakir strong enough to go against the Chazakah, strong enough to go against what had been presumed knowledge? So Shmuel said, I don't know if he's strong enough to go against the presumed knowledge. So maybe he is, maybe he isn't. So he identified what we had always thought as boy number two as being the Bechor. Maybe boy number two is treated now as Bechor, maybe he's not. I'm not sure. And therefore, Kosvan Arshah Zelazet, boy who we had always assumed who was a Bechor, and this boy who we now are thinking is the Bechor, should make a partnership with each other to now collect together. One is going to collect either as a Bechor or as the representative of the Bechor. So the Gemara says, I don't understand Shmuel, man of Shach. Ikraban and Sfirle, it feels like the Rabbanan that a father doesn't have credibility against the Chazakah. So just say the father is not believed, and the one who had the chazakah is still the Bechor, and he gets the double portion. And if he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the father's credibility is so strong that he's believed to identify who's the Bechor, even against the presumption, so Lishlach like Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he just send like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Mesafkele, Shmuel was Mesupak. He didn't know, he had a suffix. Ikra Yehuda, if Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, Ikra Abanan, if it's like the Rabbanan. If Allah would be like Rabbi Yehuda, then it's the boy who's now being identified as the Bechor. If Allah is like the Rabbanan, it's the boy who always had been known as the Bechor, who's still the Bechor. So since he's not sure who's right, he says they should make a partnership between the two of them. So Mayi, where's this argument between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, it's the following Braisa. The Torah says, Ki asa Bechor ben asnua yakir. Laseis lo pishnayim. For this firstborn son of the hated, he is to identify, to give him a double portion. Yakir, he is to identify, means yakirenu lacherim. He has to make him known to others. Mikan amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Peter says, the father makes him known. Naman adam lomar zebni bechor. It's a special credibility that the Torah gave to a father to identify the following son as his firstborn. So now once a father is believed to say, this is my son who's a firstborn, he has credibility about all things about his sons. A Kohen could say, I married a divorced woman, and this is my son from the divorced woman, and he's not a Kohen anymore. Or Zeben Chalutza, he's not a Kohen based on a rabbinic violation, because he's the son of a Chalutza, a woman who had gotten Chalitza, and then I married her. The Chacham say, no. A father doesn't have an ability to have credibility to disqualify a child. And a father doesn't have credibility to identify someone as a Bechor against what we had known, against what we had presumed, against the Chazakah. Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rav. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to Rav, Mishma le Rabbi Yehuda, ani dechsev Yakir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. This is a Chiddush. I would have thought the father doesn't have credibility against the Chazakah. Pasuk says, the father's credibility is so strong, even though accepted wisdom had been different, now that father is saying, so-and-so is the Bechor, he's believed. I need a Pasuk to tell me that. El Rabban, but according to the Rabbanan, that a father is not believed against accepted wisdom. So Yakir Lamali. So why does the Torah say the word Yakir? So the Gemara answers, it's to tell you, Bitzarech HaKera, that if there was no Chazakah, then the father's believed, and we need to have someone do an identification, the father's believed in the identification. So the Gemara says, that I need a pasuk for, l'may hilchasa, what do I need a chiddush, what chiddush is there in that? L'meis v'lo pishnayim, to give him a double portion. Good morning. We'll daven upstairs for the baby naming for Eric's daughter, Bezat Hashem. So the Gemara asks, l'may hilchasa, what's the halacha? To give him a double portion. Lo yehe ela acher. Let him just be any person, right? Ilu boy lemisvele b'matan milo yoevle. If the father wants to give a person a double portion of his wealth as a gift, he could do so. So migu, that he could give it as a gift, since he could give it as a gift, of course he's believed to now say that so-and-so is the bechor and gets a double portion. So Gemara says, lo tzricha, maybe we need the chiddush of the pasuk, b'nechasim shenaflo la'achamikan, for those possessions that the father's going to get after he dies. So those are things he can't give as a gift. Things that the father's going to get after he says so-and-so is the bechor. So right now when he's talking, he couldn't give these things as a gift, because it's a davar shlo bala olam, it's something that's not in his control. So that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Based on Yakir, his migu wouldn't have made him believe, because he doesn't have a migu to give it away, because he can't give away something that he doesn't own. But based on Yakir, he's believed that this is the bechor, and this one gets a double portion. So Gemara says, still, Rabbi Meir damar adam makna davar shlo bala olam Yakir lamali. According to Rabbi Meir, a person can give away something that he doesn't yet own. So he has a migu. He could have given it away. So of course he's believed about it. So what do I need the pasuk for? So my answer is, b'nechasim shenaflu lo kishu gosis. What about property that he's going to get when he is a dying man? So if he inherits property as a dying man, if father gets property as a dying man, so then that's property that as a dying man he can't speak. He can't give it away. So about that property, you don't have a migu. Oh, he could have given it away, so of course he's believed to give it away by virtue of saying that so-and-so is the bechor. For that, we needed the pasuk of Yakir, that he's believed based on a pasuk to say so-and-so is a bechor, and therefore so-and-so gets a double portion in that property too.
The mother has absolutely no power.
The mother doesn't have the same credibility as father.
So Rabbi, you cannot gift something you don't own.
Right, according to Rabbi Meir, though, you could. Correct.
No. Okay.
Right.
The case that we had a couple of days ago with the person who gave the life estate to his grandmother.
Yes.
That was specifically a case where the guy was on his deathbed.
No, he wasn't a gosis. He wasn't in his last breaths. Gosis is the last breaths, when any movement would kill him. That was Shchiv Merah. Shchiv Merah is a dying man. He's not going to recover from his illness, but he's not... He's not in the throes of the death rattle. Gosis with the...
That's the problem. You use the English translation. Both they said moribund.
Moribund. It is certainly moribund, but yeah. Tanur Rabbanan, we were taught by our sages in a braisa. Hayu muzakim boshu b'chor. Let's say there was a presumption that so-and-so was a b'chor. V'amar aviv al acher, and his father says about another boy, shehu b'chor, that he's really the firstborn. Nam on the father's belief, like a Yehuda. Hayu muzakim boshu ain't a b'chor. If there was a presumption that he's not the Bukhar, for Amar Aviv Shebukharu, and the father says he is the Bukhar, Eino Nam, and he's not believed. It seems a contradiction. It is, in fact, a contradiction. Reish Rabbi Yehuda, the beginning of this Brice says Rabbi Yehuda, Seif as the Rabbanan, the end of the Brice says the Rabbanan, that the father does not have credibility against a Chazaka. All right, now we talk about some more about a father's credibility. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Amar, father says, Benihu, this is my son. Then, Chazar v'Yamar, he's not really my son. Avdihu, he's my slave. So, Einu Neman, he's not believed. Once, he said he's my son. So, that's like a testimony. We have a rule. Kivan shehigid, shuvinu chozru magid. Once a person testifies, he can't go back and amend his testimony. But, if a father said, Avdihu, he's my slave. And then Chazav Yamar, no, really, Benihu, he's my son, and he's believed, because his later words, when he says he's my son, he's really not reversing what he said. He's really explaining what he said. Why did I call him Eved? He's just saying he serves me as good as a slave. The opposite would be in regards to a person who's walking by the tax man. So when you walk by the tax man, you'd rather say that the boy is your son, because then you have less assets, than to say he's your slave, because then you have to pay more in taxes. So, hey, overall, Beis HaMeches, if he's walking by the tax man, and he says, Beniu, this is my son. Then, when he walks away from there, Chazar Yama, he says, no, it wasn't really my son. Avdiu, he's really my slave. Now, when he's believed, Ari, we're going to dive in upstairs. Wait. He's believed. Why? Because it's very understandable why he misidentified the boy, because he wanted to avoid taxes. Amar Avdiu. But if In front of the tax man, he said he's my slave. But then he turns around and says, no, really, I meant he's my son. Ain't an Ammon. He's not believed. Nobody's going to make himself pay more taxes. So if in front of the tax man, he said he was a slave, so he paid more taxes, must have been the truth. Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned. Let's say a person is serving another man like a son would serve a father. Right? He's clothing him, he's putting on his shoes. And the man says, Beniu, this is my son. And then he says, Avdi is really my slave. Eino Naman. He's not believed. He's not believed to say he's a slave. If the man was serving him like a slave, and then he said, he's my slave. And then he turns around and he says, no, he really wasn't my slave. He's really my son. He's not believed. So one second, that's against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that if a man said someone is my son, then he says, no, he's really my someone said he's my slave. And he says, no, he's my son, but I'm calling him my slave because he's working for me like a slave. You see, it's not believed. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, but he's not believed. Is Hasam de Karole Avda Meitzar Meya? If he says this is my slave worth 100, oh, then he's not believed. My Meitzar Meya, Meitzar Avda Meya Zuzi. A slave is worth 100 zuz. If he says this is my slave worth 100 zuz, he can't then turn around and say, oh, I really meant he was my son, but he works like a slave. No one would ever say about their son a price. So the fact that he gave a price means that he meant that he was, in fact, a slave. But if he says, this is my slave, and he turns around and says, no, it's my son, he would be believed. He just meant he's a son who works for me as loyally and as diligently as a slave.